Let's hear about Infra Unguarded. It's cool. Trust me. And an apple a day doesn't keep the hackers away. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
Today's episode of MSP Dispatch is presented by A Very Merry MSP Holiday. 25 days of giveaways of amazing gifts for MSPs near and far. Simply register for a chance to win, then, beginning December 1st, each day we will randomly select a winner of that day's gift. To learn more or register to win, visit go.oit.co/Christmas.
Good morning and welcome to the December 16th, 2022 episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, brother. Excellent. I'm in the yellow today. All is good. Jason Slagle's here in town, so I'm going to go out to dinner with him tonight. Jason without the beard, Jason, so I don't know about that.
I mean, he's come. The beard's come back pretty well. I got to give it to him.
So I'm mad. I can't do that. Talk to me.
I know. Yeah. So I'm sorry. I got another one. So this thing is an ESP32S little controller board system on a chip.
I'm buying it. Yeah. Right now. Hold on.
I'm doing nefarious things. I'm just saying because you're going to see pictures of me playing with this. I'm using it to get my LEDs on HomeKit so I can do cool designs with, because I don't have enough LEDs around me, because why not? But that's not what I want to discuss this morning. So this morning, I saw a story on ChatGPT negotiating a Comcast reduction in bill. The full conversation on the client side was generated by ChatGPT. It was a little weird in the sense that, you know, when you speak to a non-English native speaker, or a scammer, and they kind of just, they're overly thankful with like every sentence you state. And in normal American parlance, we don't do that, right? Like you say thank you once, twice, but it's not overly, you know, thinking. That was my one takeaway from this. The story is a little more fantastical than, or the title's a little more fantastical than the story. The story is the person got $10 credit, or $10 discount every month, because they had two outages. It did cite case law about like what the ramifications were, what would be defended in court if they had to go after him in court. It did cite previous instances of this happening and why they were defending the position. It was cool in that sense, but it was a $10 reduction in the account. I mean, it wasn't like
that means something. That is a precedent. I mean, the question: if you're on chat, can you say, "Hey, ChatGPT, can you negotiate my raise request?" $10 is a small feat. But what they just announced fission. We just talked about it. Nuclear fission was invented, and it fusion. Was the amount of. Fusion, they currently do fission. Thank you. Nuclear fusion, was the amount of energy produced was only enough to boil about 10 to 12, kettles of water. So still kind of
it's a start.
It's a start, man. It's a start.
That's true. You're so optimistic. Let's see if you're as optimistic with the news. What do you say we get into it?
Let's get into the news. Jumping straight into our first story from KrebsOnSecurity.com. FBI's vetted info sharing network, InfraGuard, has been hacked. InfraGuard, a program run by the U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation, to quote from the InfraGuard fact sheet, connect critical infrastructure owners, operators, and stakeholders with the FBI to provide educational, networking, and information sharing on security threats and risks. This week saw its database of contact information on more than 80,000 members go up for sale. Meanwhile, the hackers responsible are communicating directly with the members through the InfraGuard portal online, using a new account under the assumed identity of a financial industry CEO that was vetted by the FBI itself. In response to the information shared by Krebs Online, the FBI said it's aware of the potential false account associated with the InfraGuard portal and that it's actively looking into the matter. Get your dolphins ready. Ray?
What the f***? No.
What the f***?
So for those who don't know, Infragard, and actually our guest on the second story, I'm positive he's a member of Infragard because I'm sure we talked about it for a teaser. But Infragard, for those who don't know, it's managed by the FBI, but it is specifically designed so that non-classified information can be shared with certain members of the public. I am a member of Infragard. I have been for about a decade and a half. It's an amazing way, just like ISOWs, right? Like CompTIA, ISOW, and others. It's another way to get one-on-one or direct information from the source for stuff that happens. You get the information a little earlier than goes out to the public. So for security professionals, technology service providers, there is a little bit of background checking. They are overly, they're cautious about who they let in, but they do let people in. And I absolutely advise it's a worthwhile endeavor. Tony, have you ever joined Infragard?
Believe it or not, I have reviewed it and I said, I don't think it's ready yet. I love conceptually what it does. That being said, my information is not for sale right now. So I love the structure that it provided and the channels of opportunity that were being presented. But I just didn't feel at the time that it really presented itself to me as a place that I wanted to be involved with because A, I wouldn't be able to get what the potential was. And B, I didn't quite understand what their sole purpose, what their purpose built for something. And it was a mechanism for something, but it seemed like to be a mechanism or a repository for a lot of things. It just wasn't as clear to me. So, but I love the concept. I will point that out. And I wish I had more time to explore it.
No, it's definitely interesting in terms of information sharing. It's pretty fantastic. It did strike me, you know, Infragard was one of those, they have a legacy platform. I'll be honest, I haven't logged into the platform in probably several years because they just send you emails when stuff needs to be, notifications. But, the last time I tried to reset my password, you can't reset it online. You actually have to go through a phone confirmation process, which prevented me from resetting my password. The point of that is, the actual management component of it was a little legacy of the time. Again, it's possible it's not today. Last time I looked at it, though, it was pretty legacy. So that doesn't surprise me that maybe there were some holes in there that, you know, data could come from. As an information source, it's not – given that the audience for the data that they were trying to get out to people was meant to be for a subset of the public – yes, there's the potential for getting information that maybe shouldn't have been shared in advance, but it's a news repository at the end of the day. I wonder how damaging it could possibly be. You get what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, these are members. Let's be blunt. These are members. The information that they received, or that was up for sale, were members that were extremely security conscious or with a focus on that. Consequently, if there is social engineering with that information at hand, you're far more impactful or effective in what you're trying to do as opposed to just the standard John Doe off the street. And I mean, if you say that you don't have your information out there, you're like a four-leaf clover and a unicorn had a baby. You're lucky. I love making you laugh. But I mean, that is what's supposed to be a safe group. That's my point. And, again, break out the dolphins. What the f***? There's no safety.
I can't argue with that.
Let's jump into the next story. What do you got for us?
In news you can trust, our second top story in the business section, CompTIA introduces the cybersecurity trust mark. We're covering an article written by Rich Freeman on channelpronetwork.com. CompTIA has launched the Cybersecurity Trustmark, a new certification designed to help MSPs show tangible proof to their clients and cyber insurers in following security best practices. According to the Vice President of Cybersecurity Programs at CompTIA, Wayne Selk, having the Trustmark would allow MSPs to do business with customers subject to regulatory mandates. To talk about that Cybersecurity Trustmark is Wayne Selk. How you doing, Wayne?
I'm doing great, guys. Love that previous story on the Infragard, by the way.
You are a member of InfraGuard, right? We have talked about it.
I am. I've been a member for a long time. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. A good resource. It sucks. Stuff happens to people, but you know, it is what it is. But in stuff you can trust, CompTIA, another trust mark, right? This isn't the first trust mark, correct?
No, it's not actually. This is we had the Security Trust Mark Plus, which this one is replacing. We also had a MSP trust mark, and we also had a print services trust mark, I believe.
Very. So you know, CompTIA has been doing, and CompTIA the you know, the de facto set of certifications that every technician gets into when they get into the space. So talk to me about the cybersecurity trust mark. Why the name change and why the launch?
Yeah, so thanks for having me, right? I love talking to you and your viewership around things that we have going on here at CompTIA. Sorry, I'm tail end of COVID. So if my voice starts cracking, you'll know why. But really the revamp has been going on for a while. The cybersecurity, committee executive council team, has been looking to revamp the security controls around the legacy Security Trust Mark Plus since last year. And so finally, we have all of those controls completely redefined. The legacy Security Trust Mark Plus was foundationally in the NIST cybersecurity framework. The new set, the new CompTIA cybersecurity trust mark is actually, foundationally centered around the Center for Internet Security Critical Security Controls, the 18, right? Now they also brought in some of the other controls from, they're kind of map over to ISO 27000. There's some New York State Department of Financial Services control sets in there around privacy and some of those kind of things. And then there's still some legacy cybersecurity framework from NIST also. But the goal here was really, and I know you guys know this, right? Your viewership is going, oh my God, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe it's not. I think it is a good thing. But there's really no framework, and we're not, this isn't a framework, by the way. We're not calling this a framework. Industry accepted best practices, right, Ray? Because we don't need to create another framework. There are other frameworks that exist out there, but what the team did was the membership, they actually cherry picked a bunch of the controls that hit squarely inside the very unique MSP industry space. Right. And to kind of pull those things together so that there is a more comprehensive set of best practices that are, that's focused solely on the MSP vertical at the end of the day. So we're really excited. The members are very excited. I was telling Simon, before we jumped into the segment, I soft launched last Wednesday, on a Channel Pro event, their last one for the year. Because we're trying to gather up a wait list so that we know the impact of the back end stuff that we have to have in place to be able to start tacking down that wait list, right? Right before we jumped in here, I think we're at 112 on the wait list.
Wow.
And so just to put that in a little bit of context, the Trustmark Plus, the legacy Security Trustmark Plus, had 39 badge holders. Since 2008.
So you're already coming out swinging. Is this the group that was working on, it was, Alex and Chris and.
Yes.
Okay, good. Yep. I worked with
Ron,
them.
Ron Culler.
Yep.
I know I'm going to forget a bunch of names. Tim Golden. Yeah. There's Jason.
I worked Slagle, with them. I spent weeks on that and it was fascinating just to simplify it for, I'll make it in pedestrian language. You've got NIST and all the different frameworks out there. And addressing, you know, adhering to those frameworks are brutal. You don't know where to start. You don't know which framework you're going to want to go to. This particular process gets the foundation to kind of guide you into whatever framework you decide to go into. And it will keep the lowest common denominator, I think not just addressed, but resolved, and you're more than primed to walk into a really hardcore framework if you so desire. But I can't recommend it enough. Absolutely a good program, and a certification. If you can get that, that's the real deal.
Yeah, for sure. And that you sum that up exactly, Tony, quite honestly, because, you know, we wanted folks to be able to get that set of foundational best practices in place, regardless of where you are in the world, right? There's no difference really between an MSP in Belgium, UK, US, Australia. They all deal in the same type of unique vertical mess, compliancy, regulatory, all that kind of stuff, right? And critical infrastructure. And so having that foundational set, knowing that we can get them 60 to 70% of the way there for a SOC 2 Type 2 or to move into ISO 27000 or pick your framework, CMMC as an example too, right? You know, this is the starting point. This is what everybody sees CompTIA really helping them achieve at the end of the day.
Yeah, and you hit the nail on the head, right? MSPs, I hate talking about everybody's a snowflake, everybody's unique. I mean, 'cause like you said, MFA, you know, strong passwords, you know, paying attention to what you're doing. Those are universal. Those are universal truth. But the truth of the matter is when it comes to technologists, MSPs, it is a little bit niche. We have our you know, and while we would all like to get to, you know, fully applied to a specific framework and fully adhere to it, the truth of the matter is the vast majority of MSPs are lost when it comes to where to start. So mm-hmm. having, and again, you're not calling it a framework, having a set of prescriptions that MSPs can say, I'm doing this, this, and this, and have the CompTIA blessing, which counts for a lot, saying, okay, we verified this. This matters. This MSP is subscribing to these rules. That's a big deal when it comes to, not to be too punny, but when it comes to building trust with the client and with your cyber insurers, you know, especially we know how fuzzy those cyber insurance applications are right now. You have Wes Spencer and you have others talk, you know, trying to make it a little more clear for the MSP audience. But, you know, when you can say, look, I've gone through this process and, you know, I have my CompTIA cybersecurity trust mark, it does maybe support you a little bit if the worst should occur, because hopefully, because let's be honest, bad stuff happens, right? InfraGuard is a perfect example of it. It's going to happen. Right. Yeah. But, you know, if you can prevent it for a little bit longer, why not? We will include all of the information, contact information for Wayne and what to do if you want to reach out as far as getting on that wait list for the cybersecurity trust mark. We'll put it in the show notes below. And if you're not a CompTIA member, all three of us, you know, heavily involved in CompTIA. If you're not a CompTIA member, go join for love of everything. But Wayne, thank you so much for being part of this. We appreciate you, man.
Oh, thanks, guys. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thanks, Wayne. Appreciate it.
So Tony, we're going to be breaking out the dolphins again, but this time, Band-Aids.
Yeah, we are. Straight from TechCrunch.com. Common Spirit Health says patient data was stolen during a ransomware attack. Story by Carol Page, a Chicago-based medical giant. Common Spirit Health has confirmed that an October ransomware attack exposed the personal data of more than 620,000 patients. Common Spirit Health, which operates more than 700 care sites and 142 hospitals in 21 states, first confirmed the IT security issue on October 5th. At this time, the company declined to comment on the nature of the incident. The company has not yet attributed the attack to a particular ransomware group, and Common Spirit spokesperson Chad Burns did not immediately respond to request for comment. Jumping straight out of the gate on this one, Ray. Let's just cut to the chase. What the? Come on!
I think Phil's gonna have to do like animated flippers over our faces or something, or like maybe the MMN logo.
I can do it in different intonations, and you guys wouldn't understand. It'd be like, what the? I don't know. Like, how do you illustrate how I don't feel safe? I don't feel safe. I mean, it's ransomware attack. It's FBI is under attack. It's your RSA or your PSA or RMM service is under attack upstream. Your customers are attacked downstream, you know, from the left, from the right. You're getting attacked in every direction. And oh, by the way, if your kids are on your computer, you're definitely being attacked. So Can you just help me unpack this? I feel like I'm having an anxiety attack right now.
I hate it when we have like a show full of security stories, because it's never like, it's rarely security stories of like, new survey shows 99.9% of MSPs are leveraging MFA with a YubiKey or, you know, a dong. Like, we never get that story. And I would love that story. I would love to do it. Cause we're not trying to scare everybody, but maybe we should be a little scared when, you know, it's health organization after health organization after health organization keeps getting smacked with this stuff. I shouldn't give InfraGuard a pass, but given who they are, what they do, and knowing that it can happen to anybody, I'll give them that. However, healthcare? Really? What the f***?
Oh, gosh. Okay. So, ransomware. I really, really want to hear from the MSPs. This is not a joke. This isn't a cliche. This is everybody in our audience right now. Have you had a customer? Here's a simple link. If you're listening to this right now, there's a way to respond. Have you had a customer that has been affected by ransomware? Just say, yes, I have. If you can say, it'll give us an understanding of how real this is. Is this all fake news? Maybe none of it's real. Maybe none of this is actually happening. Maybe the FBI is just looking for publicity. It's all publicity is good publicity, right? Maybe they're taking that mantra. So who's been affected by this? Who has been affected personally by this? And how were you affected? What was the resolve? Give us something just so we can understand that this is not actually fake news. This is actually local to us here. Ray, maybe I'm going too far on this. Continue or stop my anxiety neurotic, effort here.
Well, you know, other than saying this happened, hopefully it's none of our MSPs that had anything to do with this. But yeah, I mean, let us know, and let us know in the show, in the comments below. Are you sick of hearing this, or does it help you when you're talking to your clients? Let us know and we'll get to it. But before we get into our notables, I do have to do one small correction. So we covered a story. I don't know where the box goes, but wherever Phil puts it, we covered a story about Apple MFA, and we talked about Apple MFA tokens, and Tony and I took out our YubiKeys. So one small correction, Apple has confirmed they will not be making their own keys, their own devices. They're going to rely on other FIDO devices. So you'll be able to use your YubiKey, plug it right into your iPhone and, or iPad. I'm assuming they're talking about the USB-C iPhones. Oh no, because you can do NFC and Bluetooth. And they're going to allow that for use with your Apple ecosystem. So that's kind of cool. I would like to be able to go into the Apple store, and if I'm going to purchase something, I don't mind hitting my YubiKey or, you know, pressing the button. I don't mind that. So we wanted to make a small correction and let you guys know, because we always want to give you the correct information. But for now, let's get into the notables.
Let's do it.
In my first notable mention, clearing the air, overblown claims of vulnerabilities, exploits, and severity, written by Team Huntress on Huntress.com. Huntress has just released its response to the conversations regarding recent write-ups about the ConnectWise control vulnerabilities and in-the-wild exploitation. We did cover this before with Ethan Tancredi, and we'll link to wherever that story is and put it in the show notes. While acknowledging the spike in social engineering and phishing attempts in the past few months, the recent notifications seem to involve the apparent attacks on partners using ConnectWise control. However, the company added these attacks were not implications of DDoS, hijacking, poisoning, injection, botnets, amplification attacks, etc., or any of the other critical severity threats written in the researcher's article. Huntress clarified that its response is not intended to blame any parties involved, but to offer perspective and remains open to clarification and new information. The reason we covered this in a notable is because there has been a lot of information out there. My own wife noticed the ConnectWise control icon on the bottom of her computer, and she asked about it. So I want MSPs to be prepared if they happen to see one of these stories and know how to respond. In my second notable mention, Microsoft December Windows Server updates once again break Hyper-V VM creation, written by Sergio Gatlan on Bleeping Computer. Microsoft announced the updates to Windows Server included the Microsoft patch on Tuesday could trigger errors when creating new virtual machines on Hyper-V hosts. Errors include new VM creation with network adapter fails, SLB load balancer or SDN RAS gateway fails with an Ethernet connection error, attaching VNIC fails, warning messages during live migrations, and others. The company clarified the known issue only affects Windows Server, Azure Stack HCI hosts, and SDN-enabled environments managed using System Center Virtual Machine Manager, SCVMM. Microsoft says they are currently working on a fix, and as always, have provided a workaround for admins to use in the meantime. This will be linked below.
In my first notable mention from blogs.windows.com, screen recording in the snipping tool begins to roll out to the Windows Insiders. In a message to the Windows Insiders group, quote, "We know that the snipping tool is a favorite among the insider community, so we're very excited to introduce a built-in screen recorder with this latest update. There'll be a record button next to the standard snip button that will record video. Although this is a small feature to some, we're really excited about this internally, and we anticipate this to be another favorite function of the Windows operating system." And in my next notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, Microsoft Windows 10 2.1H1 has reached the end of servicing. Multiple editions of Windows 10 2.1H1 have reached their end of service, EOS, on this month's Patch Tuesday. Windows version, also known as the May 2021 update, will reach its retirement date on December 13th, 2022. Since Windows 10 2.1H1 will no longer receive security updates, customers are advised to upgrade to the latest release as soon as possible to avoid exposing their systems to attacks, exploiting unhealthy security vulnerabilities. Keep your systems up to date, people.
And feedback. Oh, we love the feedback and we appreciate each and every one of you. This one, I believe it's Keith's first time giving feedback on MSP Dispatch, but he's a Tech Bar regular. Dr. Keith Nelson says, "We use them and have been for some time." I'll be honest, I don't remember what story that's in reference to. Tony,
WAFs. WAFs.
WAFs. Oh.
Web application firewalls.
WAF. I have a SoundCloud account with some interesting songs that I've created and some spoken word poetry about teams. We'll link it in the show notes. I'll give it to Simon and Phil so they can put it in the show notes. There is a song called WAF WAF WAF. So just for Keith. We'll put it there just for Keith.
And in our community events, right after this show is released at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the channel pitch presented by the Channel Program. On December 20th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, MSP Dispatch presented by the MSP Media Network. Also on the 20th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, IT Festivus presented by Ninja One. And on the 21st of December at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Build It Better, MSP discussion presented by Everything MSP. And finally, on December 23rd at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Christmas Eve, the MSP Dispatch Weekly Wrap-Up presented by the MSP Media Network.
This episode of MSP Dispatch is presented by Cloudy's Heroes. Every year, OIT Gives and OIT VoIP look forward to conducting the annual Toys for Tots Toy Drive in our gift matching program. Let's make a child's wish come true this holiday season by giving back to those in need. To make a donation, visit go.oit.co/Cloudy's Heroes.
Da, 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 da. It's only a few more days till Christmas. We have, this releases on Friday. So we have, 1 week until Nochebuena, which I cannot wait. We're doing the pig. We're doing the lechon. What about you, man?
We have the same event at a friend's house, but not the pig. I'm totally jealous. I'm actually just going to be recovering from all of the trigger words that you used during that notable mention regarding Huntress's list of all of the, see, you laugh, but as you're reading it, I'm twitching with the list of vulnerabilities and all, they're all trigger words to me. All of them, every single one of them. Like, why is he's still going? He's still going. Why is he still going? And then I'm like, I'm gonna just be a part of my FBI group so I can stay safe. Oh!
Listen, Tony, this isn't about you. It's not about me. It's about the MSP audience. And I have a question for the MSP audience. How'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it 3 times. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Mankey says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode or leave us a voicemail 833-MSP-Network. Tony, it seems like a good show. We have Wayne Selk, friend of the show, doing amazing things in the security world of CompTIA, always willing to jump on here. I didn't know he had COVID. I feel immensely bad. Wayne, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you, brother. But this is a good episode, man. It's the week before
always
Christmas.
An amazing episode with you, man. It flows. People don't understand the back office stuff, what actually happens, the bloopers. There's a lot of swearing. There's a lot of times where we're just beating the snot out of each other. Like, why are you just so horrible? I'm just kidding. It's actually like love, rainbows, and it's amazing. And a lot of self-deprecation on the back end. This was an awesome show. Another amazing show.
Another amazing show. And actually, if you hadn't heard it, I just was listening to the Last Killing It podcast, with Carl Palachuk, Ryan Morris, Dave Sobel. And Carl was talking about how much more beautiful you look in AI. I'm talking about our previous episode where you did the, it wasn't Mid Journey. I forgot the name of it, where we did the AI pictures, Lenza.
Yes. Who looks more beautiful? Everyone.
He said you. He said you're beautiful in real life, and somehow AI made you even more beautiful.
Was it my Duran Duran picture?
I don't know. But it was he didn't use the words on fleek, but I could that's the sentiment I got coming over through the podcatcher. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, we'll leave you to have an amazing weekend, and we look forward to seeing you next week. We will have both regular shows next week, so you can look forward to it. And have an awesome weekend. Take care of yourselves and each other.
Have a great weekend, everyone. Take care.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Oh, that cleaned up your picture too.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Mess with you.
I'm like, oh man. My VP, I'm telling you.
CompTIA has soft launched the Cybersecurity Trustmark, a new certification designed for, wow, couldn't even get past the first paragraph. All right.
Windows version, also known as the May 21. Son of a biscuit. I might have to redo that line. Sorry.
Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own. Oh, we needed a blooper. Yeah, I'm just doing the work you guys needed. You're welcome. have any questions? Email news@mspmediatv or one more time. Dolphins. All right.